This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is exactly 5:06 in the evening, which means it is that time of day again for Pop It Pop It Parliament. Dania Nair joins us right now to give us updates from Dewan Rakyat. Dania, first things first, there's a lot of news at the moment about the toxic waste dumping incident in Pasir Gudang. Hundreds of people are sick, schools are closed. What happened, or rather, what did Parliament have to say about this today?
Well, there are a lot to say. First of all, was Yeo Bee-in. She's, of course, the Minister of Energy, Technology, Science, Climate Change and Environment. And one of the key points she repeatedly said in her press conference was that the priority right now is to clean up the affected river, Sungai Kim Kim, and they will target to finish the cleanup within 7 days, and the safety of the residents and workers will be monitored.
Kata kerja-kerja pembersihan, berapa cepat kita boleh buat bergantung kepada vaporization, ya? Yang volatile organic compound ini. Ini adalah sangat penting, kita akan buat secepat mungkin tetapi atas limit untuk selamat. Semua orang kena selamat dan juga pekerja-pekerja di tapak pembersihan sungai.
The minister also reminded manufacturers handling scheduled waste or toxic waste not to panic and dump the chemicals irresponsibly, which will make the situation far worse.
Sekarang ahli-ahli penguatkuasa pergi memeriksa. Kalau mengikuti undang-undang, walaupun tak mengikuti undang-undang, tak payah takut, ya. Jangan buang, ya. Jangan buang merata-rata sebab takut. Sebab takut pegawai pergi. So ini yang sangat penting. Saya menyeru bahawa kita tidak yang pengusaha-pengusaha yang ada sisa terjadual ini tidak membuang, ya, lagi. Oleh itu, semalam saya di Jawatan Kuasa Bencana, yang dipengerusi oleh DO Pasir Gudang, dia pun meminta polis untuk membuat roadblock pada malam kerana untuk mengelakkan orang daripada menghantar sisa-sisa ini dan buang di merata-rata.
And in response to the statement from the Fire and Rescue Department Director General, Datuk Mohamad Hamdan Wahid, that the second and third waves of methane gas poisoning could have been avoided if the toxic material had been discarded more quickly, Yeo Bee-in said that it's not the time to point fingers in the current situation.
So did she then say anything about tightening enforcement, you know, really just to prevent this kind of thing from happening again?
Well, she said that a committee will be set up to evaluate what went wrong and to study how the system can be improved, but then reiterated that the priority remains on cleaning up the river for now.
Saya telah membuat keputusan dan juga menghubungi orang yang berpakar untuk menubuhkan satu jawatan kuasa penilaian. Jawatan kuasa ini akan study dan akan tengok the whole process secara comprehensive and in total.
That was Yeo Bee-in of MESTECH. Was there any comments from the Minister of Health on this?
Yes, so Dato' Seri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad told a press conference that as of March 7th, 937 cases were being treated due to the toxic fumes, and this number had fallen to 162 cases as of March 13th. 12 people remain under intensive care, but the minister says that they're still in stable condition, and he also emphasized there had been no cases of death from the incident. And also, he refuted allegations that the ministry had acted late in providing medical services. Dr. Zulkifli said that they had actually done so from the start.
KKM telah bertindak sejak hari pertama. Saya ingat saya menghubungi pengarah JKN, Dr. Salahuddin, sejak hari pertama dan telah memberikan rawatan pada setiap kes, ya, baik yang serius maupun yang ringan, ya. Ada yang kami masukkan untuk kami observe for observation. KKM akan terus bekerjasama dengan semua agensi terlibat bagi memastikan kesihatan dan keselamatan semua. Ini satu perkara yang kami akan terus lakukan dan pelbagai agensi dan jabatan telah mengambil bahagian dalam hal ini.
The minister also said that the MOH staff have not been spared from the health effects. 19 of them have fallen sick due to the fumes, and he reminded those in the area to seek medical attention if they experience symptoms like eye irritation, nausea, vomiting or shortness of breath.
So another thing that's been mulled over in this case, I suppose, has been declaring emergency in Pasir Gudang because of what's happened. What were the conversations like there?
So with that, some of the MPs have been calling for this. And in fact, the Speaker passed a motion to debate the issue in Parliament. The debate started just about half an hour ago and is still going on at the moment. One of the supporting MPs, Ahmad Mazlan, explained that if emergency is declared, federal funds can be used to clean up the river, which can speed up the process.
Saya dipahamkan untuk membersihkan Sungai Kim Kim, Pasir Gudang itu mengambil masa lebih daripada 7 hari. Jadi dalam tempoh 7 hari itu tentu ada banyak perkara-perkara yang boleh berlaku, dan tentu sisi-sisi toksik dan pencemaran bencana toksik ini akan terus merebak. Jika diisytihar darurat bencana toksik, kerajaan negeri mungkin punya kekangan kewangan yang tertentu. Seluruh belanja akan ditanggung oleh kerajaan pusat. Bererti belanja yang lebih besar boleh digunakan. Dan dengan itu mungkin pembersihan daripada 7 hari mungkin boleh disingkatkan. Jadi saya kira perkara ini perlu diambil perhatian yang serius. Ia bukan lagi isu politik, ia sudah menjadi isu kemanusiaan dan isu yang mesti diselesaikan.
Ahmad Mazan also said that all victims must be given monetary compensation. He also pointed out that it's time to amend the Environmental Protection Act, where penalties must be increased and cooperation between the state and federal government must be streamlined.
And what did cabinet members think about declaring emergency?
So Deputy Prime Minister Dato' Seri Wan Azizah commented on this, and she said that care has to be taken so that people don't go into a state of panic.
Tentu kata ada mesyuarat dulu. Kita fikirkan sebab apa, kita ada juga langkah-langkah yang buat melihat supaya kita tangani masalah itu. Kita nak istiharkan itu menjadikan satu panic attack pun tak boleh juga. Kita mesti timbangkan supaya kita menangani masalah itu. The problem is to get the bottom of the thing. Kita buatkan langkah-langkah supaya sekarang you attend immediate, lepas tu you buat langkah masa panjang yang for long-term action, then now immediate and mid-term action.
That was Deputy Prime Minister Dato' Seri Dr. Wan Azizah. Did the Education Minister give a statement as well, given that so many schools have been affected?
He did, and he said that the well-being of the students is of utmost importance, and he also reminded Malaysians to appreciate those who've been working hard to help the residents.
The most important thing, what is present. So we pray for the best, for the victims, for the people of Pasir Gudang, and for the kids, and also for the teachers. And also for the rescue workers, especially those in hospitals and all the agencies involved, and also the bomber department. They are the true heroes of the nation. I've met with some of them. I've met with the ambulance driver that been sent to the ICU due to his effort in helping evacuating schools. And I've seen by my eyes how those superheroes in action. We should give a special recognition to our national superheroes. And we should pay attention more on our doctors and also our nurses that have been relentlessly doing all their best to help the victims and also to calm down the families.
So aside from Pasir Gudang, I hear that there's also discussions of something that was, I think it's something that's been revisited, right? This idea of imposing curfews for teenagers.
Yes, so Dr. Wan Azizah was responding to a question from Wang Samaju MP, Datin Paduka Tani Q. There had been a proposal, like you said, back in January to impose a nighttime curfew for those under 18 in order to fight drug addiction. However, Dr. Wan Azizah said that after some consideration, the cabinet found that it's not suitable to impose the curfew nationwide for various factors.
Ibu bapa tiada di rumah kerana melaksanakan lebih daripada satu pekerjaan bagi menampung kos cara hidup, jadi mereka tidak ada untuk memantau kalau anak mereka keluar. Terdapat juga keperluan untuk kanak-kanak berada di luar rumah di waktu malam seperti kelas tuition, aktiviti sukan dan agama di surau, dan terdapat kanak-kanak yang bekerja bagi membantu penyara keluarga daripada segi sosial ekonomi seperti yang dibenarkan oleh ILO, International Labour Organization, bagi kanak-kanak berumur 15 tahun ke atas. Kerana masalahnya kita juga pendidikan sekunder, kita belum diwajibkan.
She did say, however, that they may consider implementing a curfew in hotspots. And as for comparisons to Iceland, Dr. Wan Azizah said that one of the many reasons Iceland managed to successfully implement such a curfew could be their freezing climate. The hot Malaysian weather makes it more comfortable to hang out at night.
Apa yang kita dapati adalah apabila housing mereka, tempat tinggal mereka seperti PPRT dan tu adalah ketat dan overcrowded. Jadi mereka mencari tempat-tempat untuk mendapatkan redah. Dan juga persekitaran tidak menolong apabila kalau bandingkan dengan Iceland. Iceland sejuk. Jadi lebih baik weather tu kan, cuacanya untuk tinggal ke dalam rumah. Kalau bandingkan dengan Malaysia, cuacanya lebih enak pada waktu malam. Mungkin itulah membuatkan anak-anak ini lebih selesa berada di luar apabila pada malam hari.
Dr. Wan Aziza also admitted that the lack of recreational facilities may be a key reason why young people gravitate towards drugs. So the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development is working together with the Youth and Sports Ministry to create more beneficial activities for the youth.
Was there anything else of note today?
Yes, so the issue of compulsory vaccination was also raised. The health minister responded to a question from Kuching MP Kelvin Yee, who noted the increase in diphtheria cases a few days ago in Johor. Dr. Zulkifli said that they're looking into the issue, but having compulsory vaccination would require making amendments to the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act from 1988. The minister said that they're considering various factors such as age of immunization, exemptions, and how compensation will be given in the event of adverse effects.
Dania, thank you so much for that update. And if you have any thoughts on basically with the kinds of recreational facilities that young people could, that we could create, I suppose, for young people. Everyone always cites the Iceland example. I wonder how that will translate here in Malaysia.
So, yeah, and we'll be looking at that in depth much later. But in the meantime, you can call us with your thoughts, 7733-2900. Text or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Also, if you have any thoughts on compulsory vaccinations, let us know, because why not? Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.